front right.
You didn't say your name and you didn't say where you work for.
Are you dumb?
No, I got you. Didn't recognize you there.
As we move on and you guys play the same style that you play, you know how you play, other teams find out, probably know what makes you tick. Do the adjustments get less? Does Vegas try to beat you the same way Nashville tried to beat you?
I really think that, I don't know if I got this number exactly right, but I'm going to say that 90 to 95% of the adjustments that you make are back to your true form. So if there's a piece to your game, and so what happens is we win the first game, so we got all the answers. They win the second game, they got all the answers. I get that. But there'll be a piece of the game where we feel maybe they had an advantage. And that's some part of our game that we didn't execute the way we want to. So sure, there's some things, you know, systematically, maybe you move players around on lines to change. That's an adjustment. But if you take a look at Nashville's neutral zone and you watched it when it was really good, let's say in November, December, January, they're doing something specific that wasn't quite in the games early that we played. So they run a 1-3-1 and their defenseman locks the same side every time. He was sagging a lot in those early games. So in the games that the adjustment was, they got back to their form. And you saw Ellis right up, even above the winger on the other side of the ice, if he felt the puck was coming to his side. So it wasn't that they changed anything. They got back to their own true form. And for me anyway, that's the vast majority of these adjustments. That's why we say those stupid things, right? We know our game. We play our game. We just got to play our game. I mean, you guys hear that 1,000 times. Because in some ways, the systemization of these teams takes years, right, where it becomes instinct for the players. And really what you're doing is adjusting back to form.
Sean Reynolds with Sportsnet. So
didn't recognize you again.
Those adjustments that you're making back to your game, why has your team been so good at doing that following a loss? You haven't lost two straight so far.
To get to the conference final, you would have had to spend the vast majority of time true to form. So your identity is fairly close to entrenched. So then you'd say, well, the argument, like I'm arguing with myself when I'm answering these questions, well, why wouldn't you just play that way every night? Because they get paid too. And sometimes it is energy level. Sometimes it is that feeling good. So you're in a hat. It's 6 inches to a foot. You're in on that forecheck a half second earlier, and all of a sudden your forecheck game. You must have made an adjustment because now you're forechecking just a little quicker. And if you put that in with a team that's moving the puck a little slower, both teams are running the exact same game plan they've always run. It's just the other team has the advantage.
On the left side,
right here. Jonathan Brunier from Le Journal de Montréal.
Very nicely done.
Yeah, thank you. We saw this morning a plane flying out from Winnipeg with full of Jets fans. So what does it say about your fan base in Winnipeg?
I think they're having a great time. I mean, it's its own little story, and it's its own party, right? So we drive home from the game the other night, and it's almost all residential the way I take home. And there's three or four cars almost in front of everybody's house, right? And they got their window, you know, the TV's still on. They're still showing the highlights. Everybody's having their own little good time with this. And the ones that are fortunate enough, you know, to get on a plane and come down, they want to keep it going. The thing I think I've gotten most, it's changed. It was, you know, good luck at the start. Hey, it's great. Now I'm exhausted. Not me. I don't think I can keep this. It's every second night, right? So they're in. They're invested in it, and they're spending money and emotional capital. And if they can get on a plane, they're doing it too. But it's a great story.
Does it show that a small market can have success in the NHL? Because it seems that few owners still doubt about it.
Where you're going with this, but
and here we go.
Yeah, passionate hockey fans will come and watch hockey, and the ones in Winnipeg didn't get a chance to see playoff hockey for a bunch of years. But they still came to the rink because they loved the game. What is true of Winnipeg, and I'm sure all Canadian cities would feel this way, but my sense was they loved the game. I'm there, the first summer I'm there, we're out at the Bell MTS Iceplex. And my wife and I are commenting on how many girls there are walking around with hockey bags. Like, my daughter played in the junior, like a junior league. In so hockey's part of that community in a way that maybe we wouldn't have experienced in any other city that we've been. Everybody loves the game.
We'll do two more questions, front left.
Paul, can we?
If I talk really long on one.
Do two.
That's okay.
One good answer, that's all we
okay.
need
Okay, Kenny, it's yours, man.
Going back to your first conversation with Kevin Cheveldayoff, what made you want to work with him, and how has the relationship evolved over the years here?
The first conversation I had about the hockey team, I've said this before, I wish I taped it, because it was exactly what's happened. Exactly what's happened. He told me what the plan was going to be. He said, look, we want to bring you in, see if we're a fit together, because it came in just on a half-year contract. So we'd like you to put some structure into the game here. We've got to make a decision on some veteran players. And he said, I want to tell you, if the relationship continues, we're going to get real young real fast. We think we have some good players coming. We have confidence in our ability to draft. So that was the pretty close to the entire plan laid out, and it's never changed. From my part of it, I can't explain it any better than that. I can remember walking into the room against, I don't know if it was Phoenix or it was Arizona at the time, but and feeling like I fit in that room. That's the, and then when I drive around town, I fit in the town. My family fits there. I don't have a more eloquent way to say it other than it feels like home. You know what? So clearly there's a lot more to Kevin Cheveldayoff than you might get through the media, but that's part of his personality too. He's got an idea of what he wants to do. He certainly takes input from everybody around him, but he's very clear about what he wants to get done. We talk hockey when we need to. The two long-standing relationships I've had with general managers, they both had one trait, and you could see it, they had a really clear idea of what the team needed. Maybe not be able to get it that year or that next year, but it had a really clean idea of what holes needed to be filled. You know, Jimmy Rutherford's great at it. His deadline acquisitions have won Stanley Cups in Carolina. And then he's done a marvelous job of finding pieces. Phil Kessel, when people wondered maybe what Schultz, right, wasn't a hockey player, and now he's a Stanley Cup champion. He Kevin, I think, has that attribute.
Last question, JP on the left.
Hey, Paul. John Morosi. John Morosi, NHL Network. Last game in the second period, Morosi had that shift where he blocked the shot, regrouped for a second, blocked another one. How did that shift exemplify the kind of player you have in him?
That would be it. If he had defended and shut somebody down and created some offense at the other end, you know, he has been a player. And we know there's more offense to his game. There's some opportunity that he hasn't gotten, but he'll get it at some point in his career. He has been. I get asked the question a lot about Josh Morrissey's improvement, and it's a hard one to answer because he's been this good. You know, he's gotten better, more experience, he's stronger, but it's been almost a flat line, but from a very high level. He went from being a player who was still trying to define what he was good at to showing up at training camp and being really good at what he's doing. And that's his jump off point into the NHL was really, really high and not about points. So I think that's even harder, right? The pure skilled kids, some of these come in and they put up great numbers because they're just wickedly talented. But players that play against the other team's best at that age, it usually takes a long time to develop, and he came in with it.